Hi, and welcome to the Figuring Out podcast. I'm Junaid, and I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Umed.
Hey, what's up?
And James.
Hello.
Today, we're going to talk about how we grew up, and we're going to figure out our biggest lessons from childhood. So, guys, it's our first, like, proper podcast. That was almost like a practice one. This is our first, like, proper one. So, I'm, like, really excited.
I'm excited. I can't wait. And we're just going to talk.
Yeah, that is what our podcast is, isn't it?
I know.
So this topic is quite relevant because my family's been sending around a lot of old photos recently, and especially of me as a kid, because I'm obviously everyone's favorite, right?
Well, that's a little funny.
I know, right?
But yeah. I feel like it's a sign that they're only sending like videos of me, but also videos of like my older cousins like picking on me like as a little kid. So I've got like, an older cousin who's like 3 months older than me.
Yeah.
And we grew up together. And like as a kid, there's a lot of just her just picking on me and just pushing me around.
A lot of fun memories.
It doesn't sound like a fun memory.
I know. So you say your favorite, huh?
Look, favorite of the uncles and the parents, not the favorite of the kids. Obviously, then I'm everyone's enemy. Then that's how that works, right? I realize I don't really look at these old photos that often, right? So, do you guys look at your old pictures or have like a day where you go and just go start reminiscing, James?
You know what I do, but not of when I'm a kid. I reminisce like the pictures on my phone. Maybe because it's just like convenient to me to do that. I don't really look at my old photos. Maybe once in a while. But I don't go out my way.
I think I'm quite similar. I think with me though, like whenever someone like comes over that I haven't seen in a while, usually we just start like talking about throwbacks and stuff, and then we just whip out the
photo albums,
all of those cringy photos and stuff. We sit for hours around a table or something and then just look at it.
That's the ones I seem to get the most. It's like the cringy pictures. So I get like every now and again the little baby pictures, but my cousins seem to dig up in their photo albums like the awkward teenage pictures that I don't want anyone to see, and they like sending them to me.
I have systematically deleted all of those cringy teenage pictures. Like they've just been going.
You've erased your past.
I have erased it.
I mean, I thought no one would have a copy, but it seems like everyone seems to have an awkward image of me.
Yeah, I know. Same.
Do you know what?
People take.
Do you know what the bad thing is? Pictures. Yeah, that's the one that people will keep. Like all the good ones, while I'm looking sick here. No one keeps them. While I'm looking like I'm falling out of bed.
Trust me.
The one that gets shared around.
No, it's so true. It's true. Like even within our like friend groups and stuff, literally no one ever keeps the good ones. Like they keep all, like especially Rehan, man. He keeps the dirtiest pictures of us. Yeah.
Don't know.
Some old
and
school
and Rafi. And Rafi. Shout out to you, Rafi and Ray. And then also with them. I'm sure you want some like next photos of us.
100%. I know. You know what they do? They keep it as ammunition just in case.
Yeah. And the thing is, I feel like they've covered all bases because Rafi tends to do it a lot recently. So he's got a lot of recent stuff on us. And Rehan has all like the throwback stuff. So I feel like the entire timeline is covered in them two.
I know, it's true. True. Oh my god, we can't escape. They just throw it out.
I know, man.
Rafi did me a test the other day, do you remember? He was talking to you, about Syed, and then he threw that picture down. I'm like, what?
Get picture? Me wrong.
There's one from Rome. There's one from Rome.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my god. I don't know, you did your dirt. I know, right? I was just minding my own business.
Those jokes.
Yeah.
I remember when we've taken like road trips together, right, to like the Lake District, we've all got pictures of someone else sleeping, right? Just like in an awkward pose, like in a funny pose.
I think most of the ones I have of you guys sleeping are in the car.
Yeah.
That's the one driving, I was waiting to sleep. I look over and literally all of you men are asleep there. I'm like taking pictures.
So I just want to take you guys like a bit further back, because I knew like when I met you guys, it was in around uni days, right? In the 20s, early 20s. And you guys have known each other, I think, from like secondary school. So that's probably around like 13 in years on, right?
Yeah.
So I wonder what you guys like were into, like what were like as kids. But I remember my, as a kid, although I was everyone's favorite, okay? I was quite a naughty kid, right? And I was quite an impulsive kid. So I wasn't like a mean kid. I just had no impulse control. So I would do like the whatever I felt like, even if all the signs, everyone was saying, don't do this, I would end up, I'd have an inclination. Oh, do you know what? That seems a lot of fun. And I'll just go do it. Right?
So I was similar. Do you know what it is? Like, you know when someone said that, like, yeah, you can't do this? Instead of me being as a kid thinking, yeah, you know what? They might have a reason why you can't do that. I'd be like, nah, let me just do it. And then let me find out why I can't do it. And then that way I'll know because I've seen it. So I used to do loads of dumb shit about when I was little.
That's just
loads of dumb shit.
That's just trial and error.
Huh? Yeah, it's just trial and error. Just, I think like, people are like, don't do it.
You were a philosopher as a kid. You were like one of those skeptics. You were like, I don't listen to the pack. I make my own decisions. I learn and make decisions for myself.
Yeah, I think
he's trying to be the alpha.
I was Socrates, man. I was Socrates back in the day. I'd be like, yo.
What about you, man?
This life out.
Me? You know what? Let me ask you that question. Like, what do you guys think I was like?
Like, I think you were like...
Well, you were like...
James, you probably have an idea, right, James? So you don't say anything. Let's see what Janae says, because I met him a lot
for a minute. Yeah.
So I'm just going to, like, copy and paste your personality on, like, a little umed body, right? Kind of the picture. I think you were, like, the more the quiet type, right? I think you did stupid stuff every now and again. Actually, I feel like your personality developed because you're like the quiet, cool type. I'm gonna give an anime analogy. You're like a Kakashi, right? You're just like that cool. Yeah. So and big up Naruto. So yeah, that's your kind of like your vibe right now, and I feel like that's only come from you doing a lot of stupid stuff as a kid. So okay. I've taken back what I've said before about you having a quiet personality. I think you were quite energetic, and you've just gone through a lot of trial and error, like James. But then you just realized a lot of stuff is stupid. I don't need to do any of that. And now you've got this like calm, matured personality.
Okay, interesting. I see. James, what about you?
I want
to hear it though, innit?
You're quite chilled out. You're like, let me just lay back. What I need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're quite chilled, cold, floor. Okay.
Well,
relax. You're sensible. You're really, really sensible.
That's the word I was looking for. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Here's the thing, right? Like, with me, like, growing up from, like, really young, right? I was very quiet. Like Janae said, I was, you know, I did learn a lot of things through trial and error and stuff. But in most part, I was quite shy, didn't have a lot of confidence and stuff. So I was very much quiet and to myself kind of person. And then, as Junaid said, like my personality developed, and in like recent, like 6-7 years, it's like flourished a bit. If that makes sense.
Wow. Yeah. But, do you know, it's literally what I said, but flipped on its head. So you were quiet, and then you gained confidence by trial and error, and knowing what you're good at, and developing skills and stuff.
Yeah. Exactly. I think wise, I'd definitely say I'm kind of the opposite of you guys growing up, because like you guys were quite loud and boisterous, and you're like, yeah, oh, I've got shit under control. Yeah, I was very much on the other side.
Yeah, I see. My mom thankfully has only good memories of me, but I know how I was like when I was younger, right? I was just really rambunctious, always like, you know, when those kids you see and you're like, why do they have like an infinite amount of energy? When are they going to sit down?
Yeah, like, oh, dude, I hear that. Like, my nephews now are exactly like you.
So I'm like,
yeah, my nephews as well.
Why are they screaming? Why don't they just be quiet? Like, I've got neighbors downstairs, right? And they like cry and scream all the time. But I have infinite sympathy for all like crazy kids now, because I'm like, I was one of you once upon a time.
You're one of them. You're one of them.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So when
I'm still one of them.
Yeah, you're still
I'm still loud.
No, James, you're 100%. I feel like you are. You have a lot of energy.
I do. I know.
A lot of the time, I feel like you get into like maybe a 10-second phase where you're like, oh, okay, that's another time, whatnot. But then you're right back at it when something new starts. And I'm like, wait, what just happened? Like 10 seconds ago, you were dead, and now you're back alive. Like, what's going on?
It's true.
You guys got very complimentary kind of like personalities for like being really old good friends. You've got like a yin and yang kind of thing.
You reckon?
Yeah,
you probably stop James from doing the crazy stuff, and then James takes you out to do crazy stuff, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
it's true.
For the most part, right.
Yeah, do you remember when we were picking anime characters?
Yeah.
And it was like, someone said, like, you're Sasuke and I'm Naruto.
Yeah.
Naruto just does some stupid stuff, innit? I do stupid stuff all the time.
Oh, he really does.
Like, remember when we were getting the barbecue and I was getting, like, mad at chicken and meat? And
bruv, this is like, go and tell the story, bruv.
Like, so, yeah, because this is like, when we were going to Hammer Sands. We're going to be a barbecue in the beach and we were like, yeah, let's go to the meat shop and let's go get some things. And then we thought, well, no, we went as the first, so we went as that. Then we got like chicken legs and whatnot, the sausages and stuff. So we got like a big carnal. And so we went back, and then I was like, we're going past the butcher, and I was like, yo, let's get some more, let's get some chops in there. And he was telling me, he's like, no, we've got enough, don't worry. Okay, we got sausages, we've got chicken, we're good. And then I'm sitting there like,
Yeah, and he was like, oh, you get two kg, then you know that'd be enough for your barbecue, bro. Just listening to this, yeah, and then, you know what I mean, oh man, and then, and then, do you know what though, he was there, yeah, and he's telling me like, look, we've got enough, stop, stop getting stuff, stop getting stuff. And then I was like, ah, ah, ah. And then, and then I ended up, I don't know how, but I ended up getting four kg. And I'm like, oh my god, man, I said, got played by the butcher so hard, yeah, James, I thought you were the haggler of our group, I thought you could play by anyone. It's so funny, it was just so funny. And you know what made it worse, like when we got to Camper Sands, we realized two disposable barbecues are not enough for all of this meat. So we didn't even cook half of it, dude. I swear, that's like enough meat for a family for a week or something. It is. James just took it back home. Yeah, just keep it at home, man.
I had to take it home, I had to put it in the oven, make it into chops.
Oh, that was funny, that's hilarious.
So do you know when you were younger, James, did you get pulled into doing a lot of crazy stuff by other people then, if they smiled at you and it was nice?
A little bit. I was at the naughty kind of bit in school. So remember the Kung Fu Gangsters match?
Oh yeah, I remember these guys.
Those people.
James, I officially saved you from a life of crime.
Was James part of the Kung Fu Gangsters?
Yes, he was.
Did you have a nickname? Did you have like?
I did have a nickname. I just hung out with them quite frequently.
I felt like if that was the name of your club, like a gang, you should have matching jackets and we should all have nicknames.
I think what it is, right? I think it, back in school days, I think James was in, he was pretty much in limbo. Like he was in between like the gangster types and he was in between the gangster types and like the nerdy, like chill people, right? Which was basically me, like our group, like me, Rayhan and all of us. And then, you know, on occasion, like most of the time, I think James, until about year nine, was kind of hanging around with these car park gangsters. And then we bumped into each other and something just happened. We just kicked and we started hanging out. And then I feel like he was in between both of us and there was like two extremes and he didn't really know what to do.
Yeah, I was mad stuck because I was like, you got these people who like just do all these random, and it's like, it wasn't even like proper, so they didn't do proper crimes, they did like stupid stuff.
Yeah,
like they'd run out the gates.
Oh yeah. It wasn't like stabbing people and that. Like it wasn't any
no,
of that.
It wasn't like that. No, it wasn't.
You were like 12
that.
Years old or something, right?
Yeah, 12 or something.
Yeah, like 12, 13. Yeah.
I think I remember two main things that they used to do, right? And correct me if I'm wrong, James, but there was one where you like steal hubcaps from the car park. The cars in the car park.
No way.
You steal hubcaps and they'd be like the instigators of running out of the school before lunch or something. Like they see a guy leave the gate and then run right behind them.
No, all right. So hubcaps, we didn't steal any hubcaps.
I swear you
people
did.
People just said that we stole. People just said we stole hubcaps.
Oh, fair enough.
But they were just taking the piss out of us because we always hang around in the corner. but then running out of school, we instigated that a lot. We like all we had was like so someone whoever was in the group. We actually had a group leader as well.
Oh yeah.
The guy. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. There's like this short little Asian dude as well.
Oh wait, guys, quick pause. Should we be bleeping out these names?
Yeah, if you want.
All right. Yeah. Okay. I think we have. Yeah.
I think we have to.
I know. Okay. Do you know what? Give him a code name. Give him like. call him like Asian Derek or something.
Asian Derek. Yes. Asian Derek. We'll call him Asian Derek.
Small? If he was small, he's Asian Timmy.
Yes, he was small.
He was small. He was small. Asian Timmy is. All right. So it was Asian Timmy. Asian Timmy was the ringleader, kind of. But no one, we didn't know, like he was. And then all of a sudden, it's like he just say stuff, and everyone else would be doing it, and I'd just be there. I'll be there, like going on right now. And then they'd be like, "Oh yeah, we're running out." I was like, "What's going on?" I was like, "Let me come."
This feels like a movie. God. You know when they go, they have the big gangsters, right? And there's like big guards at the front, and you go inside and you find something like a little cute like toy or something, or a little cute person is the actual gang lead, like a little granny or something is the leader of this massive gang.
Yeah, man, it's literally like Boss Baby, like the Boss Baby's.
That's a joke. But Junaid, what kind of circles were you hanging around in school then, growing up, and how did that affect like your personality?
Well, I was quite like. I got bullied quite a lot going through school, right? So my personality outside of school was I was quite like energetic, boisterous. Like I didn't have a sense to be shy. But I used to get in school, I wasn't that like popular at all. So I think until like from sometime in primary school and a lot of early secondary school, I got picked on a lot. So it made me quite a shy and quiet kid.
Yeah.
But I don't remember that part that much. So it's like my confidence built like kind of as I did new things, as I overcame anxiety and stuff like that. It's just by doing new things, going to different places, working in different places, going to new schools. I feel like my childhood was defined by my apartment or flat's balcony.
Okay.
So on this balcony is literally the playground is literally the playground we played on. So it'd be while we lived overlooking a park as well. So my whole world was this balcony, which is where we used to, like, if we ever had cards or, like, DSs or back in the day, Game Boy SPs, right?
Please, big up.
So we used to play on this balcony, and we used to play all these kind of games you play as kids, right?
Okay.
And then we had this park overseeing kind of, we lived on the top floor, third floor, right at the end. So we had like a whole space where we could do whatever the hell we wanted, basically.
Yeah.
And so my mom was okay me hanging out on this balcony or in that park where she could see me. I couldn't go anywhere else, right? So East London, which is where you guys kind of reside, right? I was completely baffled about what this place looked like. Because all I've seen is what you see when you go to London Bridge.
Yeah.
So I saw the city and I was like, that's East London. It's like that city forever. I had no conception of like Mile End or Poplar
For the listeners, I can clarify that East London is nothing like Central.
No, it's not. It's completely different.
But what I do love about East London is the food. East London's got booming food, man. It's bomb.
It really does.
I know. Well, and every kind of food as well. Literally. On Chinese, you can get Chinese.
Halal Chinese, bro. That's a madness.
You can get halal Chinese. Exactly. You want Chinese, that's halal. Get halal Chinese.
But apart from that balcony and stuff, I think my childhood was defined by different like games and toys I used to play. Yeah. So let's like Beyblade, Yu-Gi-Oh, Duel Masters.
Oh, hell yeah.
So, did you guys have Beyblades?
I had Beyblades.
I did. I had, for most of my life, I had like the fake ones.
I think we all had them.
Yeah, like my parents wouldn't cash out for like a Dragoon or a Dronza and all of that stuff. So I was just like stuck with some like £5 corner shop Beyblade.
But it worked. Plastic as well.
Yeah, they're plastic. It worked. I didn't complain, but yeah.
I remember it's quite a crazy phenomenon, right? Because it was like every kid just played Beyblade. Every kid had Beyblades around that time.
Guys, I have an amazing video for you guys to watch then. So recently, there's this guy on YouTube, right? I think his name's like Jimmy Zhang or something. He basically hosted a live-action Beyblade tournament in New York. Just basically some random park, and had about 30 people competing. Like a 30-minute video. It was one of the best things I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, my God.
That's sick.
It's basically weeds coming together and making a madness happen, yeah.
That is amazing.
I'll send you a link.
That's not my childhood come true, man.
I know.
The man put in special effects and everything. It was like dragons coming out of there and shit.
Wow. That's basically a childhood like imagination, a childhood dream. That's what you imagine. Yeah. When you play Beyblades as a kid, that's what you imagine's happening. I'm screaming like, Dragoon, whatever he's moving.
Yeah.
Was it Tyson? Yeah, I think the main character is called Tyson. He had a Beyblade called Dragoon. And he used to do that. I think there's one way of ripping where he would hold the Beyblade in the launcher upside down. And then he would kind of turn it around. And it was the stupidest way.
Yeah.
It messed up so many of my Beyblades trying to do that.
Yeah, same.
Oh, God. So what other kind of stuff did you guys do, like fun things growing up as kids?
What, growing up?
Yeah. So like we've already touched on like, video games and, Beyblades and anime and stuff. And like chilling in the parks and the balconies. But like, was there anything specific for you guys?
I went to other kids' houses, isn't it? Like my mate's house.
Yeah.
Playing games and stuff.
Yeah.
And then it'd be like going to the park.
Yeah.
Playing football. We used to play a lot of five-a-side. Quite cool. Down our way, park's got a little cage in it.
Yeah, right.
So we used to play that a lot. It was quite funny meeting up as well because, like, none of us had phones.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to trust
someone was going to be there.
Yeah, that's it. We just had to trust someone was going to be there. And then we knew who was going to be late. We knew the same person was going to be, like, 10 minutes late.
And it was always you, it was always you in it.
Yeah. The deal is that they told me 10 minutes earlier.
Yeah.
So I got ready and I was on time. So I was cool.
That's jokes.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Go on, man.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I think for me, like, something that was very, like, personal fun was going to my cousin's house and, like, making forts.
Yeah.
Like specifically with his one cousin, me and my brother and my cousin, so him and his brother, we're like kind of similar ages. So we'd literally, whenever we'd get together, we'd just be like just doing random crap around the house. And we used to find that so much fun for some reason. Like literally we could be making forts. We could even just be sitting there, but we'd be like having the time of our life as like kids.
Oh, nice.
Like things like singing into the fan and nonsense like that.
Yeah, it's just random stuff.
Yeah, there's like dumb random things that you just find so fun.
Yeah. I think it's the same. Me going over playing with my cousins. Everywhere I went, I got my younger brother was there. So we're like 3 years apart. So he was like my best friend growing up. Like even now, right? We pretty much do so much together, right?
Yeah.
And I just remember like before we're doing a podcast now, which is funny because when I was a kid, I had a radio show called Zum Zum Radio with my cousin, I was talking about at the beginning of the podcast, who used to bully me. But we got along much later when we got older. So we had Zum Zum Radio, and apparently there's a lot of cringy videos or sound bites somewhere of us with our show.
All right, my mission in life is to expose you now.
Okay.
Yeah, can we hear that? Zum Zum Radio.
Maybe we'll do a reaction one day if I can dig it up.
Oh, we need to hear that.
Yeah, 100%.
Did you guys ever have that one like friend or cousin or whatever that was like the coolest one? Oh my God, when I grow up, I'm going to be like you or something like that.
What do you mean?
Like, did you have like someone,
a role model,
like one of your cousins, a role model? Yeah.
Oh, out of your siblings and stuff.
Out of your cousins. Siblings or friends or cousins or whoever, yeah.
Or uncles or parents or.
Yeah.
I think role models in that case. I don't think any of my cousins or siblings were role models back then. I think definitely my dad was. But I would have called my brother a role model when I'm 13, bro. I'm like, bun him, man. But yeah, because we used to fight a lot in it.
Yeah.
And it would always be over some dumb things. Like, but then like 10 minutes later, we're back to normal.
That's brothers.
Yeah, that's brothers. Like, I would have called him a role model, but I'd say, you know, over the years, I feel like I've gotten closer to my brother as we're getting older. Like when I was younger, I don't think I was as much because we were just like very different people.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
So I think, what about you, James, actually?
Yeah, I mean, one of my cousins probably was wrong. So he was like 4 years older than me.
Yeah.
But then like, when I went to his house, like, he had the coolest stuff always. Like he had Game Boy SP.
Mm.
He had the GameCube. You know that cable that you can like trade with the GameCube and the Game Boys and that? He had that. And like at that time, it was like revolutionary. I'm like, raw, man, you're so cool. And then like, it's just like the way he had his hair. I remember the way he had his hair. He had spiky hair all the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then I'm just like, raw, you're just so cool, man. You got spiky hair.
I know. I'd say I had a cousin who's similar. Like he was younger than me, but he had like everything that I wanted. Like he had so many toys, he had all the games. So I wouldn't say he was more of a role model. I'd say I was envious in that sense.
Envious.
I think I had quite a lot of role models. I think growing up, right, as the older sibling, I was always trying to latch onto someone older to kind of, it kind of gives you a bit of security, someone to look out for you or someone you kind of want to be like, right? I remember there was this. So I've got like a role model in an older cousin called Hasan Bay, but I'll tell you about Hasan Bay in a bit. So before that, there was this Turkish kid who I really want to like reunite with because I like stopped meeting him. He moved out from our flats when he was like 11 or 12, and I was like 1-2 years younger than him. But I remember he looked after me like a little brother, right? So when we were out playing football, right, it was my turn to get in goal. He knew I was afraid of the ball, right, scared to save any shots, right? He would go and just take all the hits for me, right? If he went and I lost something, right, he'd be out there looking for it with me, right? Yeah. Or if I needed someone to play with, he was always ready to go and play some Beyblades usually. But I think that one of our biggest, like, younger role models as a kid, right, and is I had a Hasan Bay. He's, like, a 3 years older than me. I don't call him, like, Hasan Bay necessarily, but I used to call him Hasan. But everything he had, I kind of wanted to do as well. Same as, like, James said, right? So, like, most of the things I own from when I was a kid is because he had something like that, and now I have loads of that. So, I used to be into he was into Beyblades first, I got into Beyblades, right? He would go into something called Barnacle, where you could make figurines, right? They're kind of like Lego-y, and I have such a big collection of Barnacles, because he was from America, so he'd come by every, like, summer, buy a bunch of stuff, and then leave it here, and I would just take it.
But would you call that a role model, or is that more of like just like an influence? That person had an influence.
Well, he's more like a role model, like an older brother. Like everything he did was the coolest thing. He used to play. The reason why I've got two guitars in my house is because he used to play guitar and he was amazing at it, right? And then I was like, I really want to play guitar. Like everything I talked to him about, he would tell me about it, and it just sounded like the best thing in the world. He's my like official older sibling, even though he's my cousin, but we were close.
Roughly how old was this? Like how old?
So this is from all my childhood, and like it's even now, it's still like he's like a big like role model, or someone I like really think about as an older brother. Yeah. So it wasn't just like a period, it's like it's been my whole life.
Yeah. All right. So he's still on the cop team. What are you saying?
I don't necessarily want to become him. I've kind of matured into my own person, right?
Yeah.
But when I was younger, as a younger person, he's kind of like the older brother that I idolized, want to be like and do everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But to be honest, right, when he was there, I had other cousins come around. I wasn't necessarily the popular one. I'd be like the younger brother who'd get all the stuff and get a whole bunch of shit to do, right?
Yeah, basically.
I think for me, like when I was growing up, right, in terms of like role models specifically in that year, I definitely listened to a lot of my older cousins, but I wasn't really that close to them back then. Because by the time like, I was like, I don't know, like 12, 13, they'd already be like 18 to 20 or whatnot, innit?
Mm.
So they were a lot older. And even though we were cousins in that, like they just, I wouldn't be as involved. But as I'm getting older, now they're in like their 30s and that. Like we hang around and stuff and talk a lot more. But back then, like whenever someone would like give me advice or anything, I think I'd understand it, but I could never like, I could never act upon it because I had no perspective. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of my role models were actually like cartoon characters and that.
Back then. Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Like I was watching like all this like Dragon Ball Z and all of this stuff, right? And you see these main characters, like my dad would send me a message like, oh, come on, keep on trying. Don't worry, don't give up on that. But I'd never truly understand what that meant until I saw like Goku, like train like crazy, never give up and all sorts. And then, you know, overcome his challenges. And then I'd be like, oh, damn, I really can't give up.
Yeah. I think you learn so much from those kind of heroes or things from anime, cartoons, much more than you, because you, it's people tell you stuff, but until you see it, and as a kid, it's almost like real to you, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's why watching these shows, that perspective that it gives you something to latch on to that you feel with. But like if your dad just says, oh, come on, keep on trying, you're like, ah, oh, whatever, isn't it? You listen to him and you're like, you know you have to do it, but you don't actually do anything with it. Have something to latch onto.
I feel like stories, shows, and just developing an imagination, just playing on my own, building stuff on my own, was such a big part of my personality now. Did you find that was the case with you, Jim?
I kind of did, yeah. Like, I had people that I'd really admire. So one, when I was a kid, that I admired a lot was Aragorn, Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yes. Strider.
Yeah. And it's just like the way he carried himself, the way he kind of he was always honest, and then he always trying to help and always trying to fight the bad guys. Even when like no one else, with like, other people were losing hope, they were saying, "Oh, the army's too big. The army's invincible. We can't do it. They got too much power. The ring's going to get them. They're going to win in the end." And then he's like the one guy that was like, "No, I don't think he will. Or even if he does, then we're going to stop him. Or we're just going to stand in his way, and we're going to do everything that we can to do it."
You know what? I kind of see some of that in you. You know that.
Yeah, I think that resonates. Yeah, that resonates in me as well. That's like he's one of my favorite characters, and I feel like that part of like that character is resembles both of us, right? What we admire,
yeah,
or we aspire to be.
So, yeah. Janae, what about you then? Like, which like fictional character or whatever growing up do you feel like has taught you the most lessons?
Taught me the most lessons. I feel like it must be one of the anime kind of. The exports from Japan, because the shows we got here were a lot more like jovial. We got Simpsons, but that wasn't necessarily like an inspirational show. When you saw people overcome struggles like Dragon Ball Z, like Goku, he gets taken down, he comes back stronger, or all those types of movies where they get put in like crap situations, or they've been defeated, but then they pick themselves up and they go get stuff and they get stronger and then they come back. But it's like the honesty, I found a lot of that was that kind of values resonated in Japanese shows, where it was like if they said they were going to do something, that's it, they were going to do it no matter what. They would have the moments of everything being against them, but they said they were going to do it and made a promise to their friend and they're going to get it done no matter what, right?
Yeah, no, it's true.
I wish I was a bit more like that, right?
Yeah, I feel like in my sense, yeah, like the biggest one is probably, you guys already know this, right? This has to be Naruto. Because I've been watching since like way back when. I feel like I've grown up with that show.
Yeah. And
like when I was watching it growing up, I kind of felt like, oh, he's kind of like my brother, which is stupid. But I was like, you know, I'd like to have a brother like this. Not that my brother's not like that, but I'm just.
I think I would adopt personas from characters I like to try different personalities. So there was a time when I was trying to be like Kai from Beyblade. He's like the quiet, cool type, right? And you just be a bit disconnected. So maybe that was a part where people were like, were being a bit mean to me and saying I couldn't join their group in like primary school or secondary school. So I thought I'd adopt that personality, see how that went, where I didn't care about that. I'm just like a lone wolf kind of personality.
Yeah.
So do you find you did that? You emulated characters, trying different personalities?
I feel like I did, especially like not necessarily the personalities, but their ideologies, if that makes sense. So with Naruto specifically, he has like, his show has like three main lessons that it teaches you. First is about like bonds. Second one is about adversity and not giving up. And I feel like the third one is pain making you stronger as a person.
Yeah.
And in terms of like not giving up and stuff, I feel like I try not to give up on things too early. In terms of bonds, like I really cherish my family and my friends, and you know, it hurts when something goes wrong. And in terms of the pain making you stronger, there's been a few things in my childhood that have been quite difficult to overcome, and I've never truly understood the lessons until later on in life. And I feel like because of that, I've matured a lot quicker, which is probably why I was a lot more quieter when I was younger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that.
That resonates with me a lot.
Yeah, it resonates with me too. I think Naruto, especially for me. So even, because when did I start watching it? I think I was like 12, 13. When I started hanging out with you, man, I never started watching it.
Oh, yeah.
I think everybody got me into it. Yeah, but I mean, Naruto, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Because I didn't know about anime before I was doing it.
Oh, damn, okay.
Yeah. For me, it was Naruto, I think, because like, there's a lot of things that I shared in particular with Naruto. So like, you know how when he was growing up, he was the Naruto fox, and like people didn't like him, and like people tried to think, but then he like tried to get attention and that. Yeah. So like, as I was growing up, that's kind of what I went through as well, in a different way and less tragic way, hopefully. But yeah, because in my family, like everyone's older. So like, yeah. Even with cousins and that, they're not really cousins my age. They're like cousins that are a lot older than me, like 15 years older than me, maybe 12 years older than me. And then the people that I'm that kind of associated with cousins are actually nephews. If you know, mm-hmm. we go through
yeah,
that way, but
it's also like
up
that.
An age.
Yeah, someone at school was with you, but he was older than you.
Yeah, you remember? I was his uncle, and then he was 2 months older than me. And then I was like, what? That's crazy. Oh man. But then like, you know, with Naruto, I was kind of like, he's just like kind of going for attention. He's like, you know what, I don't care. I'm gonna get acknowledged, don't worry, I'll do my thing, I'll get stronger. Yeah, that kind of always resonated with me. It still does to this day. But I don't give off easily.
Yeah, that's quite a nice segue into like the final thing I wanted to talk to you about. I think we, as like where we are, we're like all in our mid-20s, right? We've done quite a lot growing up to this point, and I'm sure we still got a lot more to go, right?
Yes.
But up to this point, like I'll say mine first, and I give you a chance to think of yours. But what were your like top three lessons you'd want to teach your younger self? I'm going to give you a moment to think about it, and then I'm going to say mine.
Okay, all right.
Top three lessons. Yo, I had a pen here, and it's gone. I don't know where it's gone. Never mind.
Okay, I think I have mine.
Okay, would you want to say yours first, then?
All right, I think... Wait, what was the question again?
Top three lessons.
You've gone in a time machine. You've gone back to Umad. So he's like 8 years old, 7 years old.
Okay.
And you're giving him some your top three lessons that you've learned in that time since you were that age.
I see. Well, I think firstly is in terms of it's confidence. I feel like putting yourself into uncomfortable situations does wonders for your confidence. Prime example of this is I think I mentioned this to you earlier, but there's a channel called Yes Theory, right? And their whole ideology is about getting comfortable being uncomfortable. And that's how they develop their confidence throughout their journey doing their YouTube stuff, where they're always pushing themselves, you know, to just do that little extra step just to kind of build their stats a bit. And I think that's one of the biggest lessons I've learned, because over the years, especially in secondary school and stuff, I would never actively try and become confident. Like, I wouldn't answer questions in class and stuff. I'd rather just stay quiet. But then in university and stuff, I was a lot more active, and it did wonders for like my public speaking and presentation stuff. And I feel like just putting yourself in an uncomfortable situation ever so slightly can help you a lot. So I'd say that's my first lesson. My second one is to do with like productivity. I think putting in the effort is really like undervalued, like how much it can actually help you. So like a lot of people give up really early on, but if you stick to something and you put in the effort with consistency, I feel like, you know, your skills will just skyrocket and all your behavioral and personality. As for my last one, I think it might actually have something to do with like pain being like one of the best teachers of life. So what I mean by that is, you know, I've had, you know, not so good experiences in my childhood. Like I've lost loved ones, very close loved ones, and, you know, not really understanding what it meant back then, but, you know, over the years, maturing a lot quicker because of it.
Yeah.
Might be the third lesson that I could really learn throughout my life.
Yeah, no, go get that, bro. I get that.
Yeah.
All right. Shall I go now?
Yeah, go. You go, James.
Yeah. All right. So my first one is try your very best and put the time in whatever it is you're doing. Even if it's like a small thing or even if it's a huge thing, something that seems unachievable, just do the best that you can do. Because as a kid, like, to kind of, because I was in like limbo with so many different groups, it was like there was a part of me that was not trying as hard just so I could fit in somewhere else, and like not trying to be the best that I could have been. Just because I didn't want to seem so, I didn't want to seem like a boffin, pretty much.
Yeah.
But, you know, with the weather, like, that doesn't really get anyone anywhere. So always try your best. And the second one is you don't need to chase popularity and adoration from other people. Because, as a kid, everyone kind of thinks that, I guess. When they're in like secondary school, it's like being popular is like the most important thing in the world. Even now, when my nieces and nephews are telling me that, oh well, this person don't like me, well, this person is like thinking, well, I know loads of people, but it's like I kind of see myself in them. I was like, yeah, man, that's what it was. Kind of care about that because that's your world.
Yeah,
but there's more to it, and I mean, like, you don't need to be loved and absolutely adored by everybody. Know everybody to be a good person, to be a really nice person to be with. Just need to chill. You don't need to chase and run after that. And I guess the next one is accept yourself for who you are. So maybe you're not the best athlete, or maybe you're not the smartest person in the room, but you are you. So be the best you that you can be. And then at the end of the day, the world needs you rather than who you would be trying to be.
I have a question for that. So yeah. To be the best person that you are, or to just grasp that fact, like, how do you acknowledge that growing up?
Well, you don't really. You just do what you like. Do what you don't like, accept the things that you can't do, accept the things that you can do.
Yeah.
Notice that there are things that you can do better. You can do better, and then there's also things that you can do worse.
Yep.
And then carry on going. Just, you know, go, just accept what you can do and what you can't do. And then that goes in hand with once you accept yourself, that's when you kind of, you love yourself even more.
Yeah,
like, I feel you, like, see yourself.
Yeah, you become the best version of yourself once you accept you for who you are. You're right.
Yeah, it's because it's like, yeah, you know what? I have my flaws.
Yep.
I also have my talent, and that's what makes me who I am. And alhamdulillah, that's it.
Alhamdulillah.
Love it.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
I think we might scare off some listeners. But I think that phrase, right? Alhamdulillah. Right, it's an Arabic phrase, and it means thanks to God. All thanks and praise belongs to God, and I feel like that's one of the biggest lessons I've learned in my life. So when something good happens in an Islamic context, you would say all thanks be to God, right? And if something bad happens, you also say all thanks be to God. And the thing, and what that kind of underlying principle is, everything is kind of happening for you, right? Like, all that good thing, that's a blessing, and that's great, right? But in this context of, like, life, yeah, where we see kind of life as one big test, right? Yeah. So struggles are to be expected. But when we have struggles, yeah, you know, it could be you avoiding some other issues or saving you from something else. So when I say, like, so people get angry about the smallest things, right? And I remember me, this is how I kind of realized this principle for myself. It was like on the way to school when I was 16 and missing a bus, right? And just knowing about to get really angry about I'm gonna get so late right now, I'm gonna get so much trouble, right? And then I was like, wait, right, maybe something is gonna happen, maybe that bus wasn't for me, I go to school, maybe I meet an asshole on the way there, who knows? So I say alhamdulillah, I chill out, I go to school, and nothing happens, right? So a lot of time you're freaking out for no reason. And
yeah,
you learn that everything is happening when you have the mindset everything's happening for you. Now there's no negatives in life, right?
Yeah.
And that kind of links into my second lesson, which is there are no such thing as failures. There are only learning experiences. When you go and try something and it doesn't work out, you're not a failure. You have not failed doing something. You've just learned one way not to do that thing, right? And normally you fail over and over again. I know I've probably failed thousands of times doing one, maybe even one thing. But then I've just learned 1,000 ways not to do that thing, right? So I think that's very important for self-esteem, that you know that you're not a failure and that you're never too dumb or stupid to do what you want, right? What's holding you back is just a level of hard work and experience. Usually people say there's like a 10,000-hour rule to get like really good at something. Maybe you just have to put those 10,000 hours in. But after those 10,000 hours, even at the beginning, you feel like maths is not for you. You were not made for maths, right? I promise you, if you put like even like a couple hundred hours into like just learning maths, you will start to enjoy maths because you'll be good at it. Yeah. So that's something I had to adopt when I didn't get like what I expected with grades and stuff. I had to remind myself, or I had to learn this fact of that. It's just what was stopping me from getting that good grade. It's just I haven't developed the skills to do that yet. The self-discipline skills, the knowledge skills, or the exam skills. And I think my third and final point harkens back to a lot of like what was the issue with young Junaid, right? Or what he was struggling with a lot, getting bullied all the time, trying to be accepted, right? And this is exactly kind of what James was talking about. And I would tell myself, you don't have to be accepted to be special or worthwhile. You're that anyway. You've got so many special people in your life, right, that you love. And you're going to go and grow up in the future, and you're going to meet so many more special people, and some of them might even start podcasting. Mm. Right? So,
yeah.
Just know that you don't have to be accepted to be worthwhile, and just be happy being yourself and growing every single day. That's what I tell myself.
Yeah. Took me 25 years, I don't know.
Yeah. I still struggle. I have to keep reminding myself about that.
Me too.
But I think that's a good place to like I think end off the podcast.
Yeah, man. So it was a great conversation. Great.
Yeah. I quite enjoyed that one. Thanks everyone for listening. You want to say bye, guys?
Bye.
Take it easy.
Later.
Thanks for listening, guys. This is Junaid here with the outro. Just to plug some socials, we got Umad social. So that's Umad Ahmed, UMMADAHMED. He does amazing productivity videos on YouTube and some self-improvement stuff. He has a good 30-day reading challenge you should go check out. And then we got our boy James, James Ula. That's just what you search on YouTube. J-A-M-E-S U-L-L-A-H. And he does like some great off-the-cuff videos about like philosophy, leadership, and current events. So yeah, go give them a check them out, subscribe, like their videos and stuff. All right, thanks. See you next time. Bye.